But you know, it's an exciting time to be here. I'm so excited. My name is Tom Flores, one of the pastors here at the Rock, like Pastor Jim said. My wonderful wife, Heather, is here with us. And we're just excited to be here, here at the Rock. And I'm excited for you because I believe God has given me a message that's going to help all of us. Because like Pastor Jim said, you didn't come here to hear from a man. You came to hear from Jesus. And I came to hear from Jesus too. Is that okay? Hallelujah. And I believe this message is going to touch our hearts and touch our lives, carry us through not only the Christmas season, but it's going to carry you through the year and a lifelong, just a change in our hearts. And so I'm just excited. Today, I'm going to be ministering on becoming a joyful person. Becoming a joyful person. It's a wonderful time of the year, December. It's an exciting time of the year for some people. I look around and it's just a time when we celebrate the birth of Jesus Christ, the Son of the Living God. And we're excited as we put up our decorations at our houses and you see all the things that are going on. And my favorite part of the year because, you know, all the Christmas music comes on and I love Christmas music. It's actually one of my favorite. And I'll even play Christmas music during the summertime. And because I just like the way it sounds, I think it's really exciting and fun. And, you know, it's an exciting time for us. And, you know, I looked on the news and people deck out their houses. Woo! Man, I looked on it. I saw on the news they were people with computer systems on their house lights, their Christmas lights, going with the music. And some of you are guilty doing that too, huh? I mean, they wait all year just to deck out their houses. And it's just fun and exciting time. And, you know, it is this time of the year that people throughout the year that haven't even cracked a smile all year long are sending out greeting cards to family, friends, and loved ones, expressing cheer to them. You know, you walk through the malls and people are shopping, grumpy shoppers most of the time because the mall's so crowded. And you see the lights down the street as people are driving, irritated drivers that just want to get home. And it's this time of the year. But tradition aside, the fact is with busy schedules, high expectations, and the financial pressures that we go through, it's very easy to allow this time of the year to be a depressing time. Isn't that right? It's so easy to let the joy of the Lord slip through your fingers. You know, many families, this is a depressing time. Some families have had tragedies take place in their homes during this time of the year. And when these things take place, it keeps coming back into remembrance. You know, I've had tragedies in my family throughout the holiday seasons, and it's so easy to let that stuff just put you down or make you feel depressed and down. And it's so easy to let joy slip through your fingers. But we as Christians cannot and will not let this happen. We need to be able to hold on to what God has given us in our hearts. And today we need to get a revelation of joy that is much more than just something we do in the holidays, but it's a revelation of joy that we can hang on not only through the Christmas season, but we can hang on year after year after year. You know, no wonder why the Apostle Paul says in Philippians chapter 4, verse 4, he says, "Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice." Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. You know what that means? That means we need to, the word rejoice means to rejoy. That means we need to back the truck up and get another load. Yeah. Right? Woo. To rejoice. So tonight I have one verse that I believe is going to help us become a person that is full of joy. But before we go into the Word of God, I want to just pray and get a hold of Jesus, or like I always say, I need Jesus to get a hold of me. All right? So let's all bow our heads. Let's just pray. Father, I thank you for this service. I thank you, Lord, that your hand is on the word tonight, God, that we didn't come to hear from a man, but we came to hear from the Holy Spirit. And we ask, God, in Jesus' name, that you would do a mighty thing tonight. That it's the anointing that breaks every yoke. We thank you, Father, for your anointing and your word, God. We thank you for your blessings. And in Jesus' name, we all say, amen. Amen. So open up your Bible with me to Nehemiah chapter 8, 8 through 12. Nehemiah chapter 8, 8 through 12. As we go to the word of the Lord. So they So they read distinctly from the book in the law of God, and they gave the sense and helped them to understand the reading. And Nehemiah, who was the governor, Ezra, the priests and scribes, and the Levites, who taught the people, said to all the people, "This day is a holy day unto the Lord, your God. Do not mourn nor weep, for all the people wept when they heard the words of the law." Then he said to them, "Go your way, eat the fat, drink the sweet, and send portions to those whom nothing is prepared, for this day is holy to our Lord. Do not sorrow, for the joy of the Lord is your strength." And here was a time, if I just give you a little history, these are the people of God, and all through the years they would have the word of God, or centuries, and hear the word of God. What they would most of the time would just get is the "don't do this, don't do that." It was just the law. And it was for the first time that they actually opened up the word of God and began to expound on it, begin to teach the word of God. How many know it's nice to hear the word of God, but it's better when you can understand the word of God? And so they began to express and explain to them what the word meant, and it gave them a revelation on who the God is that they serve. You see, tonight I'm going to share three things with you that I believe are foundational truth to help you during these troubled times, or during this season, and just in our lives. The first one is, whose joy is it? See, joy comes from God. The Word of God says tonight, the joy of the Lord is your strength. So whose joy is it? It's telling us here that this is God's joy. This joy doesn't come from man's spirit. We can't bring this out of ourselves. This only can come from a living God. In other words, we as believers must learn to rejoice in the God that lives within us. We get excited because there's a big God living inside of us. And when God is living inside of us, His attributes live inside of us. The attributes of God that live inside of us, His power is our protection, and His wisdom is our guidance. His faithfulness is our foundation, and His grace is our salvation, and His joy is our strength. This is important to know, that it's the joy of the Lord that gives us strength. In Psalm 16:11, it says, "You will show me the path of life. In your presence is fullness of joy. At your right hand our pleasures forevermore." This is not a joy that comes from you. This is the joy of the Lord that dwells inside of you. In John chapter 15, 11, in the King James Version, it says these things. It says, "These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may remain in you, that your joy may be full." But let's look at it in the Message Bible. I like the way the Message Bible says it. It says here, "I have told you these things for a purpose, that my joy might be your joy, and your joy wholly mature." That my joy might be your joy. So what is joy? What is joy? What is the difference between joy and happiness? Joy comes from God. It's the power of God. It's the strength of God that keeps us going. You see, the Word of God says that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God, right? But joy is what strengthens that faith. Joy is what strengthens that faith. It's much different than happiness. You see, happiness is weak. Man, happiness is from outward things. I mean, it can be gone in a second. How many know that you can be happy with your wife or your spouse, and you could be driving in the car and everything's all great and dandy, and one miss in communication, man, it just explosion takes place. I mean, it is gone. Everybody's happy until all of a sudden something happens and you get a phone call, a bill in the mail, or you're driving down the street, someone cuts you off, and kaboom, your happiness is gone in an instant. It's kind of like some of us when we're going to church in the mornings, we get our children together, we dress them all happy, we get them dressed all nice and everything's going good, we get in the car, we're driving to church, and all of a sudden Susie pulls Johnny's hair. And they start going at it in the back, and you're the husband, and you're driving, and you're trying to take care of it, and you're driving, and they're going at it, and you're trying to take care of stuff in the back, and you look over, your wife's texting, not even paying attention. And you're like, and all of a sudden, boom, man, we got cage fighting taking place in the car. Then you pull into the parking lot at church, And you see all the happy people, Christian people, and you get out of your car. Everybody's all mad now. Big old cage fight just took place. You get out of your car and you put on your Christian face. Praise the Lord. Not that doesn't happen in my house. But it's joy that carries us through. It's not happiness. It's the joy of the Lord that carries us. That no matter what goes on in our life, it's joy. The joy of the Lord lives inside of us. That nothing can take it away. Listen, the devil cannot sustain an attack. He doesn't have the power to. And if you hold on with joy, no matter what you're going through, he's going to have to give up and admit defeat. There was a man in the early 1800s, his name was Horatio Spafford. He was a lawyer, a wealthy businessman, owned a lot of real estate. Some of you, it's a famous story. Some of you may have heard it before. And he had four daughters and a son. There came a time where his wife and him, they suffered a tragic loss when their son died. And just a few years later, the great Chicago fires broke out and burned all his real estate to the ground. So trying to get his family away from the tragedies that took place, he decided he was going to take his daughters and his wife and go on a trip to Europe. So in the last moment, right before they were going to get on the boat, some business affairs came up and he had to take care of them. So he told his wife and his daughters, go on ahead, I'll meet you in a few days. Well, a couple of days later, he got a notice that said that the boat that his daughters and his wife were in, were in a tragic accident. The two boats collided and four of his four daughters drowned. And as he's on a boat going to see his grieving wife, Anna, he wrote these famous words. It says, when sorrow like sea bellows roll, all is well with my soul. Here was a man in the darkest hours of the night. Here was a man going through the tragedy that you and I just look at and don't wish on our worst enemy. And here he was, and how could a man that was going through what he's going through write these words, all is well, all is well? It was because he's got a joy in him that does not come from him. It didn't originate with him. It came from God. You see, his source goes beyond the temporal things in this world has to offer. When I was a young Christian, I had a brother who was diagnosed with leukemia. And I'll never forget, you know, for a whole year, we struggled with it at the hospital, day after day in the hospital. And then all the way till he took his last breath and he lost his battle with leukemia. And I'll never forget that when that happened and he lost his battle with leukemia, that we decided that, you know what, we're just going to praise Jesus. He was in love with Jesus. He loved Jesus. And, you know, we wish that he was healed and got delivered. But when he took his last breath and the battle was over, we decided, hey, you know what, let's put on some praise music and let's start worshiping God. So we put on some praise music right there in the hospital room. We started clapping in the hospital room, worshiping Jesus. I remember my relatives, they looked inside. They couldn't understand. They looked out and said, why would you be... rejoicing in a time like this? Why in the world would you be excited during a time like this? Because the Word of God says that I have a joy inside of me. And listen, the Word of God says, it tells us here that it is in 1 Peter 1:8, that it is a joy unspeakable. That means, in other words, we can't explain it. We can't contain it. It is a joy that just comes out and there's nothing we can do to stop it. No matter what goes on in our lives, we know that we can't explain this, but it just flows out of us. And listen to me, beloved, no devil in hell can steal it from you. And no circumstance can shake it off of you. Because it is a joy that only comes from the true and living God that lives inside of you. The joy of the Lord is my strength. It is my hope. It is my peace. It's a God that we have. And though weeping may come in the night, there's joy in the morning. Hallelujah. Number two, we need to beware of joy stealers. Joy stealers. James chapter 1, if you turn with me to James chapter 1, 2 through 4, we're going to expound a little on the Word of God. It says in James chapter 1, "My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. But let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing." William Barclay made an excellent comment when he said, "These tests or trials are not meant to make us fall. They are meant to make us soar. They are not meant to defeat us. They are meant to be defeated. They are not to make us weaker. They are meant to make us stronger. Therefore, we should not bemoan them, but we should rejoice in them." You see, trials produce growth. Just like when you prune a tree, you're causing it to grow. You're making it grow. It reminds me of Paul and Silas when they were in the book of Acts, chapter 24 and 25. Here's Paul and Silas. I'm not going to go there, but I'm just going to expound on it. Here's Paul and Silas. They're in the prison. They've got arrested. They got arrested. They're now in prison. They're chained in stocks in the prison. And what do? Do they allow that to get them down? Do they allow it to make them feel bad? Do they allow it to defeat them? No, they begin to praise God. They begin to worship God. And by doing that, all of a sudden there was a great earthquake and the chains fell off and the gates opened and they walked out. Because they weren't going to let this put them in a place where they felt defeated. I remember one time when I was a while back, I had a job, and it was a good job. It was one of those career jobs. It was one of those jobs that you don't get unless someone dies, you know? But this guy didn't die. He just quit, and they let me have this job. And it was a job, it was a good job, more money I'd ever made before in my life. And I was excited, finally had medical benefits, dental benefits, everything was great. We were happy. Everything was exciting. And then I lost my job. And my second born son was only 4 months old. We lost our medical. We lost our dental. We lost everything that job offered us. And I look at this situation. But you know, when I first lost a job, I remember my wife praying. And she said, "Lord, I don't understand this. I don't understand why you allow this to happen. I don't know how any good can come out of this. But I'm going to believe your word that says all things work together for the good to those that love you." Well, by losing that job, something happened inside of me. It prompted me to go back to school. I got into nursing school. I finished nursing school. And I stayed faithful the whole time. I stayed faithful to my ministry. I stayed faithful to what God had called me to do. And I did everything I needed to do. I didn't give up. I didn't run away from church. I didn't get angry at what was going on around me. I just stayed the course. And because of that, I believe, because of that, it made me who I am today. What the devil meant for bad, God meant for good. And it did something to me. And by that trial, which I could have looked at that trial and let it get me down, it built me up. James teaches us that we should not measure the circumstances in life by their ability to satisfy our ambitions and our tastes, but by their capacity to mold us into great men and women of God. It's all how you look at it. What do we measure it by? Instead of looking at that trial as something that's affecting me, I need to see it as something that is molding me. You see, if we go back to the verse in James chapter 1, the second part in verse 4, it says, "But let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect, complete, lacking nothing." That you may be perfect. What is perfection? Perfection in this life is to become what God wants us to become. That's perfection. You see, trials are not meant to affect us. They're meant to perfect us. If we understand that our lives are in the hands of a mighty God to shape us and mold us, the outcome of joy and sorrow are the same. Let me say that again. When we understand that we are in the hands of a mighty God, it doesn't matter if it's bad, it doesn't matter if it's good, the result is the same. It's to make us into men and women of God and perfect us into His image and what He wants for us. Don't let, I have a little saying here, it says, don't look for the good in everything, look for the God in everything. See, in Isaiah 64:8, it says, but now, O Lord, Isaiah 64:8, it says, but now, O Lord, You are our Father. We are the clay. You are the potter. And all we are the work of Your hands. In Romans chapter 9, verse 20, you don't have to go there. I'll put it up on the screen for you because I'm going to go real quick here. But indeed, O man, who are you to reply against God? Will the thing that formed it say to Him who formed it, why have you made me like such or like this? Listen, we're clay in God's hands. And He's molding us into what He wants us to be. What He wants us to be. Not what I want me to be. What He wants me to be. And He's molding us. And sometimes, man, He's... And He starts pulling things off and ouch! It hurts a little. And He's just, come on. And what's He doing? Because there's going to come a time as He's molding you, as He's pulling on you, as He's stretching you, and He keeps on. Listen, a potter doesn't buy a block of clay, stick it on the top shelf, and look at it and say, wow, that looks nice. Right? A potter picks up the clay and he starts molding it into what he wants it to become. And sometimes when those mold, that stuff takes, man, I tell you what, sometimes it hurts. Sometimes you feel the pain. There's an ouch there. We need to see it as God sees it. We're like tea bags. Not worth much until we've gone through some hot water. So whether your circumstances are a result of the devil, attack of the devil, or God molding you, all things work together for the good to those that love God, that are called according to His purpose. I wrote something here, I'm just going to read it to you. It says, the events of life are merely the scaffolding for shaping us into His image, that we should meet them with patience as He continues His work. This work will flatten out our emotional extremes we tend to experience. Our emotional extremes that we tend to experience. You know, it's funny how many times we go through just stuff. It's like sometimes we just can't get ahead. And I remember when my wife and I bought our first car, little Honda Civic. We were a young couple. You know, we've been married for almost 20 years now. And we're excited about that. Are you excited about that? And we bought our first car. It was a Honda Civic. And, you know, we're a young couple. So I remember we drove it home. We put it in the driveway. We even walked across the street and said, that's ours. We're all excited. And we paid all the payments on time. We did everything just right. And I remember we made the last payment. I couldn't wait to get the pink slip to say, this is ours. No more payments. We got the pink slip. And a week later, the engine blew up. It's like, hello, man, can I get ahead here? And it just seems like every time you're trying to get ahead and you're trying to do stuff, things just happen, man. It's part of life. It's pressure. God's blessing blesses others. How many of you have ever been in a situation, or maybe I better not say how many of you. Sometimes God blesses other people. And it's a trial for you. Why does he get blessed? Huh? Sometimes you see people get blessed and you sit and you wonder why. Because these are, you know, we're talking about joy stealers, right? So you see someone else get blessed and you're like, what? I've been faithful. I've been doing this. And you're going to bless them? Ouch. Let me tell you something. Sometimes God will offend your mind to reveal your heart. Sometimes God will do stuff just to mess with your head. Just to see where your heart is. And you say, look at you. Look at your heart. What does God's word say? It says, rejoice with them that rejoice. Yeah, but she gossips. The other one that tries to mess with us a lot is the enemy. And as a young Christian, I remember, man, I made a decision as a young Christian. When the devil would mess with me, and he had a heyday sometimes. How many agree sometimes he can have a heyday with us? I made a decision a long time ago, and I played it out a lot of, many times too. I said to myself, you know what, every time the devil messes with me, I'm going to go tell someone about Jesus. And so every time he'd mess with me, every time I'd go through a trial, every time a situation would come up, I'd grab a stack of flyers and I'd just go talk to people about Jesus. I'm going to get them. And I began to share the gospel with people. But you know something about that? When I began to share the gospel with people, when in the middle of a trial, in the middle of a tribulation, you begin to share the word of God with people, it lights you up. All of a sudden you get excited. You're going, man, come on, devil. And I would go and I'd tell people about Jesus and share the gospel with them, and something would just light up inside of me. You know, all those problems would just shrink away. Then sometimes I'd just do it just to kick them a few times. Sometimes Christians, we walk around defeated day after day, year after year. Sometimes we need to get muscle back in our belief. You see, there's a lot of believers that are just believing the wrong thing. We need something that's going to put a sparkle back in our eye. It's going to put a spring back in our step. We're saved, for crying out loud. We're going to heaven. You know, after time, you know, I've been serving God for over 20 years. And I know that sometimes you can get into the routine and just do the work of the ministry, and there's no joy anymore in your life. There's nothing, nothing's happening. You're just doing the work. But sometimes there got to come a time where we just repent. We say, man, Lord, I need joy back in my life. Because I remember when I was a young Christian, when I first gave my life to Jesus, man, I lit up inside. Something lit up inside of me. I was excited about Jesus. And guess what? There's no off button. It's never gone away. It's just still there. I remember I used to work at this one job as a nurse, and I didn't tell anybody I was a Christian because I was new on the job, but I'd come in smiling all the time. I was excited. I was excited to help other people in the job and help them out. And one day, believe it or not, but one day they cornered me at my job. All the other employees cornered me, and they said, listen, there's something about you. We can't figure it out, but why are you happy all the time? Are you on drugs? And I was like, I'm on Jesus, hallelujah. Because I'm excited for what God has for us. I'm excited. Amen. Point number three is the joy of our salvation. The joy of my salvation. God is with you. He loves you and He cares about you. We're saved, and we're just going to serve God all the days of our life. And you know, one day He's coming back, and it's going to be a glorious time. And I'm excited what God's doing. It's the joy of my salvation. The joy of my salvation. You see, old things have passed away, and all things have become new. God has given us a new, fresh, new start. And we, as a people of God, need to understand that when we have the joy of the Lord living inside of us, when God Himself lives inside of us, the only thing we need to know is what He wants. And when we walk according to His word, according to His promises, we know that all things are going to work out. It's going to be fine. Don't worry. It's going to be a brighter day. Next day is going to be a brighter day. And it doesn't matter what situation you're in, we need to realize that we are on our way to heaven. We're excited. My name's written in the Lamb's Book of Life, and I'm going to heaven. Hallelujah. And that's the joy that we have. And no matter what circumstances we go through, it's the joy of salvation that keeps us excited that keeps us alive, that keeps us flowing day after day after day after day. And I'm just excited for what God's doing. The book of Revelation, chapter 2, 2 through 4. It's talking to the church of Ephesus. And it says, the angel of the church... I'll give you a moment to go there if you want. Revelation chapter 2. It says, the angel of the Lord of the church of Ephesus... I'm sorry. To the angel of the church of Ephesus write, these things says he who holds the seven stars in his right hand, who walks in the midst of the seven golden lampstands. I know your works and your labor, your patience, that you cannot bear those who are evil. And you have tested those who say they are apostles and are not. And they found them to be liars. And you have preserved and have patience and have labored for my name's sake and have not become weary. Nevertheless, I have one thing against you. You have left your first love. Here was a church of Ephesus. They were doing the work of the ministry. They were laboring in God's kingdom. But they had left their first love. They had no joy in what they were doing. They were just doing it to do it. I remember a while back, a long time ago, I was very discouraged in ministry, discouraged just in my life. And I'll never forget, I walked up to a brother one time and I was just down on myself. And I remember he came up to me and I began to talk to him about some of the things that were bothering me. And I just said, you know what, I'm never going to do anything great for God. I'm just... You know, because, you know, that was our passion, was to do something great for Jesus. And I just was down on myself, and finally he pulled me aside and he said these words that I'll never forget. He looked right in my eyes and he says, you've lost your first love. He goes, that's the problem. You've lost your first love. And I said, wow, well, I love Jesus. Yeah, I know you love Jesus, but you've lost your first love. It's time to fall back in love with Jesus again. And I had to go back to my home. I had to repent and get a hold of Jesus and talk to God and say, man, what happened here? Because in the busyness of everything that was going on and just the busyness of life, I got to a point where I wasn't excited anymore. I wasn't fired up anymore. I was just going through the routines. And sometimes we can get in those situations. We're just going through the routines. We just get up in the morning. We get ready. We go to work. We work. We come home. We eat dinner. We go to sleep. The next day we wake up and we go and do it again. Just like Pastor Dan said last week. It's just over and over and over. And it just keeps on going. It's just routine after routine after routine. We come to church on Wednesday. Then we come to church on Sunday morning. Then we come Sunday night. And there's no excitement in it. And I don't know about you, but there was a time where I allowed that to affect me. And I lost joy in my salvation. I didn't tell anybody about Jesus because I wasn't excited anymore. Until I got a hold of God. And it's so easy to get stuck in that rut. And I got a hold of God and I said, man, I don't want that joy to go away. I want to be excited again about you. I want to be fired up that I'm saved and I'm forgiven and I'm on my way to heaven and I just want your glory, your power inside of me and your anointing inside of me, and I want you to just engulf me with the Holy Ghost and let the power of God come on me and just get me happy about Jesus and excited and let the joy of the Holy Ghost come out of me. And all of a sudden it was like a fireball from heaven just hit me and whoa, I woke up. And I was like, what am I? It was like this cloud was over me. And I just shook myself and I said, my Lord, I'm saved. I'm in love with Jesus. And I just went out and I started telling people about Jesus. I was so excited and, you know, it just lit up inside of me. And I'll never forget. It was during that time that I went to going to a Stater Brothers. And I was walking in and coming out of Stater Brothers. And there was this little Volkswagen sitting outside of Stater Brothers. And someone told me, go tell that man about Jesus. And I had a little flyer in my hand. And I walked out to that car and I walked up to the car. You know, I didn't do it all the time, but God told me, go tell that person about Jesus. So I grabbed my little flyer, my little card, and I knocked on the window. This old man rolled down the window. I said, sir, I'd like to invite you out to church. And he looked at me with his like gaze over his eyes. And he says, son, I can't read that. And I said, why? He said, because I'm blind. I said, well, hallelujah. God is a good God. And he wants to heal you right now. And I said, I tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to pray for you. And when I'm done praying for you, I'm going to give you this flyer and I want you to just read it. So I laid hands on him, man. I got real Pentecostal on him, man. I tell you what, in the name of Jesus! You know, back then, if we thought the louder we shouted, you know, the devil would run faster. We got so excited. I'm praying for this guy. After I was done, I said, in the name of Jesus, read the flyer. He looks at the flyer. He looks at me. He looks back at the flyer. He looks back at me. He goes, I can see. And I looked at him. I said, really? He jumps out of the car. He's running around the car. Oh, I can see. I can see. I'm behind him going, yeah, this is so cool. Until his family came out and saw Grandpa being chased around by this teenager. They came up to me and they said, what are you doing with our grandpa? I said, I didn't do anything. Jesus did it. Hallelujah. This man got saved. He got healed. He got saved. The next Sunday, the first two rows of the church were filled with his entire family. You see, God is an awesome God. And when you have him, man, he's inside of you. He just lights you up. And if you're here today and you're going, man, I don't understand that. I can help you understand that. God loves you and he's an awesome God and he's inside of you. It's the joy of our salvation. The joy of our salvation. And finally, when I repented, I got excited about God. Amen. So what did we learn today? We learned, first of all, to be a joyful Christian, we need to know whose joy is it. It's not a joy that comes from you. It's not a joy that originates from you. It's not a joy that you can do anything to muster up. It's the joy of God, and it's his joy that strengthens you. It's his joy that gives you strength. So during this holiday season, I want you to come to the conclusion and come to the realization that, listen, man, God lives in me. And I'm a million times bigger on the inside than I am on the outside. Number two, we need to beware of joy stealers. Don't let those things mess with you. Don't let them cause a ruckus in your life. When you're driving a car, kids are fighting in the back, just don't say it. No, I'm just kidding. But don't let that stuff bother you, because it's so easy, man, to just let things rob you from your joy. The enemy wants you to be robbed. He wants to steal it from you. Number three is the joy of my salvation. We're on our way to heaven. Our names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. There's going to come a day where we're going to stand on the streets of gold, stand before the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And I tell you what, I don't care what's happened on earth when that takes place. I'm just going to walk in, and I just love Jesus. Amen. So this Christmas and next year, let's not let the devil steal joy from you. Let's not let temporal circumstances get you down. Stir up the joy of the Lord and be strong so that you can fight the good fight of faith. And go do something for somebody else. Because there's joy in doing stuff for other people. Amen. You have the God of creation living inside of you. And you're going to heaven. Did you get something from Jesus today? Amen. Yeah.